I didn't want to do this, but I needed to do the library and see the differences.
Amita Akpan, Marwa Bakri, Lucia Balestrieri, Lizzie Barrett, Isis Huberi,
Present.
Franklin Berry,
Present.
Simone Chan,
David Suarez, I think, holding her.
Rocco Lorenzo,
Present.
Zora Daram,
Present.
David Diao,
Zordram holding his proxy.
Karis Everett,
Present.
Christian Flournoy, Allison Helkowski, Miles Height,
Here.
Sandra Jordan, Sion Kim,
Present.
Clyde Letterman, Flora Meng,
Present.
Yash Moitra, Ezigo Nonye,
Present.
Suraj Parikh,
Present.
Casey Platkin, Imani Rizeka,
Present.
Stellar Sun, David Suarez, Benjamin Terhar, Claire Ting,
Here.
Adam Vinson,
Present.
Amy Wang, Patrick Keel,
Present. Can we get a count?
20 present.
20 present. Thank you so much. Okay, we'll now read the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaigahono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gaigahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations of historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gaigahono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gaigahono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Would everyone please open up the minutes from last meeting, take a read over them, and when someone is ready, please give me a movement to pass these minutes.
Point of information.
Point of information.
If I was holding someone's proxy last week, are they supposed to be listed in the also present section?
No, they're absent. Trustee Swenson.
So moved.
That movement is in order. Is there a second? Dissent. Would you like to withdraw your motion? Okay. So moved.
Motions.
That motion is in order. Is there a dissent? Seeing none, the meeting minutes are passed. I have moved by unanimous consent to suspend the rules and place Outdoor Odyssey on the first order of business for the report section or the presentation section ahead of orientation. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, Outdoor Odyssey, you'll be the first on the presentations. We will now move into point of information, Vice President Ting.
I actually had a motion.
Motion before.
So, first of all, I just wanted to point everyone's attention over to the audience. In the audience, we have one of the presidents of Haven, Piper Kallenberger. Piper and their co-president, Nick, have been coming into the student assembly for every week now for the past 3 weeks in order to be able to discuss a very, very practical amendment to the charter that the student assembly is going to do to prevent hundreds of the Cornell community from being outed for their LGBTQIA identity. So with that being said, I'd like to motion to suspend the rules and move Resolution 32, amending the student assembly charter in allyship with Haven, up to the next order of business right after open microphone.
Dissent.
There's dissent. Okay, there's dissent on the floor. Moving to voting. All those in favor of placing Haven on the agenda, please raise your placards now.
Are you holding placards?
I'm raising mine too.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay. The count is 18-1, 18-02. That is an order. Okay. As that is the next order of business, we will now move into the Haven resolution. We do have exactly the amount of members present to pass this today. So any dissent means that we cannot pass this as it takes 2/3 of the entire student assembly to pass the charter amendment. So please, Haven representatives, take your place at the front of the room. Two members cannot vote.
Hey, hello. Can everyone hear me? Is this working? Okay. So Rocco and I spent a great deal of time on this yesterday. We made a couple of amendments, one of them being that should my position as the queer liaison not be filled, the director of the LGBT Resource Center will be the one to verify the names. So it is still someone who is representing the queer community that is there as a resource for queer students and would not be a violation of their privacy because the director already has access to this information. But everything else is the same. And the only thing that we amended for was Rocco kindly fixed some of the language in there that I did not have 100% correct because this charge stuff's a little confusing. But you just take a moment to look it over. Really appreciate it. If anyone has any questions, have the lovely presidents here.
Could you speak a little closer to the mic when you speak? You're good for that one, but just in the future. So if everybody could take a moment and review the resolution. This is the same resolution that was presented multiple weeks ago before there were new members. So new members, please look it over. This is for a little bit of historical context. This is following up on a exemption we gave Haven to not have them submit their members list for the byline funding cycle. All organizations can submit a request for an exemption for any requirement subject to the approval of the assembly. The old version is published in the agenda. The new version is in the box that Rocco and and Karis worked on yesterday. That was great. Are there any motions or comments on the floor? We are in discussion.
I think this is a very important resolution. We have to have 2/3, right?
Yes.
So it's important that everybody votes yes for this resolution. Abstaining, I feel like silence is violence. So everyone, please vote in favor of this resolution so it could pass.
Trustee Swenson.
Yeah, I just want to echo. You hear me?
Yes.
I just want to echo that. You know, I can't vote, but if I could vote, I'd absolutely, you know, vote yes for this. This is very, very important. Ultimately, it's going to go to Martha to say yes or no, but, you know, as an assembly, we should, you know, be united in this resolution because it's very important for sake of anonymity. And Karis, Representative Everett mentioned kind of the counter argument to the implications of making the anonymous list.
Vice President Ting.
Hi, everyone. So a couple of things. First, I just wanted to say that we've already historically granted this exemption for Haven in the past. For those of you new to the assembly, I've put a Cornell Daily Sun article in our Slack for some context. But this resolution is very important because it codifies this protection into law, effectively solidifying it into our charter so that Haven members for future generations, even when all of us inevitably graduate, are still able to be protected. That being said, it is very important to echo the same sentiment that you vote on this today.
Any further comments on the floor? Representative Rizka.
I just wanted to echo the sentiments that have been made that this is a really important resolution, and I wanted to give a special shout out to Karis and everyone else who helped to write this resolution, because this school is supposed to be a place for any person in any study. And I feel like for us, for members of like the LGBTQ plus like community to feel included, like they should have the right to like feel protected by their like main org that represents them on campus.
With that, seeing no alternative perspectives, I'm going to call the question. We're going to be voting on this. All those in favor of the Haven resolution, please raise your placards at this time. Do not raise proxy placards. All those opposed. All those abstaining. All those holding proxies. The count is 2303. That does pass. Congratulations. All right, we're moving on to the next item on our agenda. Open microphone. Representative Rezka.
Being as though Resolution 30, removing median grades, has been on the agenda for the past 3 weeks and it keeps like not being able to be discussed, I wanted to motion to suspend the rules and bring resolution 30 to the top of the agenda after my open microphone.
Before we vote on that, I would just say that we do have a lot of community members here who are here for presentations. So I would be in favor of keeping that at right after the presentation section, just so we can respect the community members' times who are here. Is that amenable?
But that's where it's been at for the past 3 weeks, and it still hasn't been discussed.
We can vote on it if you'd like. I'm just saying, yeah. Trustee Swenson.
We can vote on it now.
This is just kind of an idea that I have that I want to float to you guys before I possibly write something in, you know, in writing on a resolution. But with this Haven Charter Amendment, seeking anonymity for the members within the club, it also raises into question, you know, should certain votes for certain polarizing or potentially, you know, controversial resolutions, you know, be, you know, warrant a secret ballot to prevent the potential for doxing of student assembly members. Like, I remember there's like 400 people here and we had a vote in front of everyone. So like that could, you know, the crowd could influence people's decisions. So I'm going to just, you know, maybe hear two comments from people, but I'm thinking about writing something, a charter amendment that says like with like very articulate and thoughtful writing, where it's like, if there's a very, you know, polarizing or controversial argument, or resolution put forward, you know, there is a chance for a secret ballot if voted upon.
Thank you, Trustee Swenson. Representative Rezegue.
I keep my motion. Like,
all right, motion stands. The motion on the floor is to suspend the rules and place resolution 30 above the presentation section. All those in favor? All those opposed? This does fail. It takes 2/3. We'll now move on to the presentation section. After Odyssey, you are first. Please take your stance this the front of the room.
Yeah, I didn't know there was that many community members who just for the presentation.
I'm not gonna screw that up.
I would say let's get them out of the way first.
Yeah.
Do you want to get, you guys can pull up another chair, sorry.
All right, so yeah, for context, Outdoor Odyssey.
Vice President, real quickly, I am going to give you a 10-minute speaking time for Outdoor Odyssey.
Okay.
You can turn it up too on the bottom.
Whatever. Okay. So Outdoor Odyssey is a completely student-run organization. They're designed to help incoming Cornell freshmen, students, and transfer students adjust to the new college experience. The program offers a variety of outdoor pre-orientation programs led by specifically trained upperclassmen guides each August. So Outdoor Odyssey, they basically plan these pre-orientation trips for students to go on to once they've been admitted, and they can go and sign up for them. And all the trips happen in the kind of weeks leading up to orientation week, in some of those weeks.
Awesome. Cool.
So I guess the timeline of Outdoor Odyssey is that in the fall semester, they focus on recruiting new guides and team building throughout the year. In the spring semester, they focus on the training of the new guides because there's a immense amount of training required to go out into the wilderness and take freshman students and, you know, go camping and stuff. And so then, in the spring, they do more technical skills. They learn how to like tie knots, tarps, ropes, stuff like that, food planning. And then they also bring in a third party certified training service, the Wilderness Medicine, to teach wilderness first aid and wilderness first response for the guides. So then operationally, they are composed of an exec board of 16 members who are distributed across the different class years. They have the equivalent of a G-body with all their training guides of around 47 members. And then they have two additional student coordinators who help the overall annual operations of the organization. So basically, before going into the finances of Outdoor Odyssey and really kind of and delving in there, I think it's important to realize sort of how they've operated in the past, how they're going to change right now. So they basically have four sources of revenue. They have the student activity fee funds, and then they have the ticket revenue that they sell from the people going on the orientation trips. They have their endowment fund from Cornell Outdoor Education, as well as gifts from alumni and stuff. So basically, due to the timeline of Outdoor Odyssey, it's important to understand that, some clubs here, they get their allocation, then they spend it by the end of the academic year. A lot of the costs that go into Outdoor Odyssey are actually sunk in the year before, in that winter, spring timeline, before that summer's trip. So essentially, a lot of the money for the summer 24 trip is going to be sunk in the next few months, coming up going forward. But that's in a new fiscal year after the new additional student activity fee allocation. So regarding the overall revenues of Outdoor Odyssey, we broke them down in four categories. In the 22 to 23 academic year, for the summer 22 trip, they had around 68K in ticket fees, 11K in gifts, around 3.3K in the endowment, and then around 30K in the student activity fee allocation. In terms of their expenses, they incurred 24K due to their official training certification with the Wilderness Medical Program to get the official certification. And then also just notably, a lot of their revenue comes from those ticket fees that they charge students to go on these trips. And then a lot of the sunk costs are essentially the buses, permits, van rentals, some of the equipment, which Outdoor Odyssey basically commits to before they know how many students are going to go on the trip. So once the number of students attending is determined, Outdoor Odyssey has some control over the equipment and food variable expenses, but not enough to basically overcompensate and fix if they don't meet demand for the number of people going on these trips. So in the end, the total expenses at the end of the 22-23 academic year amounted to around $106,000, leaving them with basically a 5K hole that was filled in by some other money source at Cornell. In terms of, their request now, Outdoor Odyssey want to go from a $2 allocation to a $4 allocation. And they want to increase, And then basically in the appropriations committee, they explain that this increase in the amount would account for the loss that's going to be incurred for this year, because technically the trip happened this year and they didn't meet enough demand of people. And so they're expected to be kind of, in the hole a little bit, without some alumni gifts and donations and stuff. That was mainly driven by a drop in the number of students attending. So in the summer 22 trip, they had 225 trippers, but in this past summer, they only had 150, or around 157, 150. Okay. 170. Okay, cool. So, in addition to this aspect, they also stated in the hearing that they wouldn't be receiving this 10K gift from an alumnus, which basically means that we can't account for that going forward. So in looking at the previous expenses of Outdoor Odyssey and really diving in, for a while now, they've been using the same bank account, which then they use to pay the two student coordinators. And so the problem with this is that it goes against the student assembly charter, which stipulates that no advisor, president, treasurer, staff member, other officer, or member of an organization may be compensated from an organization's student activity fee account or student activity fee earned income account. And so as it stands right now, Outdoor Odyssey doesn't have multiple accounts. They've since changed that. We'll get into that in a little bit. To pull money out from, and all the revenue sources, including the student activity fee, are pooled into one account and expenses are taken out of the account. In this model, once the money is put into the account, we do not know what money source the student coordinator salaries are being pulled out from, meaning that the default assumption essentially is that the money's being all conglomerated together and then the student activity fees are being pulled out. So since Outdoor Odyssey is a completely student-run organization, when they're determining their budgets and stuff, right, it's like deciding your own salary to pay yourself. So it kind of creates this little conflict of interest in terms of the overall salaries. Through the appropriations committee discussion, the decision to require students to pay back these funds will not be pursued at this current time, but it does not mean that it can't happen in the future, because this has been happening for many, many years now. Since the issue has been brought to Outdoor Odyssey's attention, they've created a separate account where ticket revenue and either gifts or endowment money will be transferred into. This account will be used to pay the student coordinator, student coordinators and associated training sessions required for Outdoor Odyssey guides. And Outdoor Odyssey will also operate a primary account where student activity fee funds will be transferred and operational expenses will be drawn out from. So another sort of concerning fact of Outdoor Odyssey was this hole that they would have to fill in, which essentially, you know, the overall planning of sunk costs that they made in the early part of this current year, this calendar year, all of those were sunk planning on an expected number of demand. They didn't meet the demand, so they couldn't get the revenue, but that money was already sunk into the vans, trips, rentals, stuff like that. And so they're going to, with a projected loss right now of around 25K, 20K, somewhere in there, which is a pretty big hole to fill. So in the hearing, I know this is not the case now because we've talked about it, but Outdoor Odyssey stated that they were going to be required to pay back the previous money that Outdoor Education has given them. So it would go right back to a Cornell department. So basically, like in discussion with APSCOM, the Appropriations Committee did not feel that that would be a good use of funds to like pay back Cornell for the stuff that they've already filled in. They encourage Outdoor Education to explore another route to recoup the money that they have given to Outdoor Odyssey in the past. In sort of this discussion, because we've had a lot of stuff off to the side and talking with them, after a lot of emails going back and forth about Outdoor Odyssey, the VP Finance and the VP Finance, a meeting between the Outdoor Odyssey leadership, Student Assembly President, and Student Assembly VP for Finance was held. At this meeting, there was a discussion about all the elements listed above, about the organization's role and the role of the Student Assembly. And it was determined that regardless of all other prior issues that were resolved, Outdoor Odyssey would need to focus on driving growth in the total aggregate number of trippers via marketing initiatives and getting the name of the organization out there during the academic year. Due to the cash flow of Outdoor Odyssey, many of the large costs that go into the trip are sunk in the fiscal year before the summer trip, meaning that there's little control over decreasing costs if the trip person quota is not met. Near the end of the discussion, it was determined that as a part of their appeal, Outdoor Odyssey would need to focus on putting more programming on during the academic year to meet the criteria for byline status, that their events need to be open for all undergrad students. The offer that was, you know, basically made, and this is going to have to be voted on by the overall student assembly. The offer that was made was that by the Student Assembly reps was that Outdoor Odyssey could brainstorm events to hold during the academic year, host at least three of those events per semester from the list of brainstormed events, and their allocation would be increased from $2 of the Appropriations Committee recommendation to an amount of $2.90 per student per year. So Outdoor Odyssey was given 10 days to come up with this list and begin planning the events that they would want to host this semester. The following email correspondence highlights these brainstormed events. In the end, basically, you know, considering all the factors of Outdoor Odyssey, including the decreased demand to attend the trips, prior misuse of SA funds throughout paying student coordinators, and the COE department seeking repayment for previous donations to Outdoor Odyssey, the Appropriations Committee feels an allocation of $2 is fair for the organization to operate, as well as reassess their current operations and byline status. The Appropriations Committee recommends the Outdoor Odyssey focus on marketing of the program to new students and analyze the elasticity of price increases for trips as an incremental source of revenue going forward. So basically the way this works is that the Appropriations Committee voted on a specific amount. That amount still stands currently, and it's going to be up to the Student Assembly to discuss and, I guess, repeal that amount, which has been recommended to be $2.90 following the agreement of hosting those events during the academic year. And with that, I will open up the floor to Outdoor Odyssey.
And I'll just start real quick. I think Outdoor Odyssey is an incredibly important organization on this campus, and I'm really impressed by the amount of work they put into thinking about the events for the upcoming semesters. It's a very impressive list, and I would really urge everybody here to consider Outdoor Odyssey as a very significant organization making significant impacts for our students on this campus while we go into this. The floor is open to Outdoor Odyssey if you'd like to say anything before we move into voting.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what did you say?
The we're not paying that ticket stubs.
Yes. Okay. We're not paying back anybody.
Like, just don't want to.
If you don't want to say anything, that's totally fine too. With that, we will move into questions on debate on the subject. Points, motions, anything on the floor? Okay. With that, I'm going to call the question. We will vote on the allocation. The process is that we need 2/3 of the student assembly to overturn the appropriations committee's decision and a majority to pass. If we land in the middle of those two, we will recess and then come back. Okay, we need a motion. We need a motion on the floor to either reject or adopt. The chair would smile favorably on a motion to reject the decision of the appropriations committee. Representative Jordan, point of information, recognized. Okay, yeah, we can move into it. Please use the microphone.
Yeah, so good question. Went over this a little bit in my report, but basically Outdoor Odyssey was at $2. They requested $4. The Appropriations Committee felt that a $2 allocation would suffice for the organization. So then that's what they voted on. Our conversation with Outdoor Odyssey of being like, hey, $290 will work if you do XYZ things, that does not have precedent over the Appropriations Committee. We need to respect that autonomy of that committee before basically, you know, agreeing to anything else, right? And so that's sort of where the $290 came along. It was, you know, and this is probably just my opinion, right? But if you ran the numbers of Outdoor Odyssey and really saw where they needed the money, right? It's a $4 allocation was definitely a little above that margin. And so it's at a more sort of, you know, reasonable level at the current time. Yeah.
Trustee Swanson.
Thank you guys for being here. I'd like to hear from some members of the Outdoor Odyssey to explain how, you know, an increase of $290 will benefit you, but even more so, you know, kind of your reasoning around the $4. So it's a 100% bump. Just can you provide some context for that, please?
Sorry, just to make sure I have the question right. You asked why we requested $4 and why it went down. Sorry.
Just kind of, you know, walk us through what kind of initiatives you want to put forth to the student community with the 100% increase in your requested allocation. And, you know, with this, you know, like medium of a $290, how will that benefit you? In what ways will you use that extra 90 cents then if we just adopted the appropriations committee recommendation of $2?
Yeah, so we initially asked for $4 per student, essentially to like cover all of the debt that we have because it is a lot. In our discussion during the byline process, we kind of came to the understanding that a lot of SAF funds can't be used to pay for all of our expenses. Like even excluding coordinator salaries. We came back in our appeal before our discussion with Vice President Finance and the President of the Student Assembly asking for $3.30, to cover our costs that Student Assembly can pay for. Kind of most of the 90 cents, like with the understanding that we would be doing more throughout the year for the entire student body. So this would be like also raising our trip fee to like meet in the middle between our organization and SAF funds. So essentially that's like, if we're doing more with the student community, we will have more expenses to pay for. I believe that some of our brainstormed ideas you all have, so hopefully you look at those. But a lot of this is for training. Food expenses have gone up this year. like everything is going up this year because of inflation. We are also paying for a lot more financial aid of incoming students than we ever have before. I think it went from.
I was going to say two years before it was around $6,500. Then 1 year ago, it was around $8,000. And then this past year was around $10,000. And so, you know, and thinking about, you know, they offer financial aid that's proportional to the financial aid that students get from Cornell as a discount on their trip fees, right? And so we have the data from all of those financial aid gifts that were given out. But it, in the overall scope of the organization, the financial aid piece that you provide to students is in reality really not a huge cost center for the, well, I guess it would be, you know, the opposite of rep because like you're not charging them revenue, but yeah, it's really, you know, the grand scheme of things, right? It's like a lot of the trainings, the bands, the trips, you know, booking everything that costs a lot more than the scholarships that they give out.
Points and motions on the floor. Representative Bowser.
Motion to reject the appropriation suggestion of $2 and adopt $2.90.
So we start with just rejecting, and then we move into conversation on what the next fee should be. There's a second on the floor.
Second.
There's a second on the floor. Is there any dissent to rejecting the appropriations committee decision? Dissent. Okay, we'll now move into voting. All those in favor of rejecting the Appropriations Committee's decision, please raise your placards now. All those opposed. Okay, that does not pass. We're still in discussion. Other points or motions on the floor? Representative Meng.
Point of information.
Point of information recognized.
Rejecting this appropriation proposal, does that mean like either we gonna go with a higher budget or just go to the $2.9 per dollar per person budget?
Yes. So once we reject the appropriations committee's decision, then we move into setting a different allocation. To give an overview of the process, the appropriations committee met with Outdoor Odyssey. They established keeping the fee the same, which is not sufficient to cover their new expenses. We then sat down with Outdoor Odyssey, had a long discussion about what they could do to involve the student body more, how they could support more students and also be able to cover some more of their costs. And after a long discussion, we came away with $290 as long as they could provide proof that they were going to be doing more programming for students, which they have done successfully. So yes, does that help? Okay. Representative Rezica. Successfully. They did. They have a whole list of programs they're going to be throwing over the next two semesters at the very minimum.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know, like, how the turnaround for, leadership in the Outdoor Odyssey works, but like I know in like most clubs, like you kind of change who's on like the e-board like every year or so, and so like these are just prospective events that could like change after a year, and there's nothing to guarantee that they're going to do them the following year. And I feel like we're trying to give them more money off of like the potential versus like every other club that we've analyzed thus far. We didn't do that. We based it off of what they had done in the past, not what they should potentially do in the future. And I don't know. I feel like that's kind of...
Vice President DeLorenzo.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point that you brought up is totally valid, right? And that's why we always sit here and evaluate the class years of the exec board, right? And it is concerning in some of the organizations that they have executive boards that are all seniors or all juniors, right? Because what happens 2 years down the line? Outdoor Odyssey doesn't have that. They have an exec board that's distributed across, I believe, class of 26, right? So they have some sophomores involved on it. And so that transfer of information should happen. And there's always a written record of it right here. I would say in addition, right, there's always Outdoor Odyssey is unique because I don't know of any other like student leadership-ish role that pays its students essentially. And so there's a good monetary incentive to follow through on it.
Representative Resica.
I think that my main point is that, like, for every other byline org that we've analyzed up until this point, we've based it off of what they have done, not what they can potentially do. And so I kind of find it biased to, like, try to, like, say, like, oh, they could potentially do these like, events, so then we should give them more money based off what they're going to do in the future, because we didn't give any other organization that same kind of grace.
And I'm not going to lie, I pretty much agree with that, right? I mean, I'll say, like, that's what drove the Appropriations Committee decision to be $2. As we said, we looked at it objectively, and we said, they're paying their students. They were asked to pay back this money. That's where this incremental increase is. They sink all their costs. Outdoor Odyssey does not operate like many other bylines in the sense that a majority of it comes from this business that they run, right? And so I think in discussion with Outdoor Odyssey and you know, everyone here, it's like, I would say that Outdoor Odyssey is the closest byline to, like, a business that's subsidized versus a student programming, student funding board that we have here for all the other bylines. I think that the mission of Outdoor Odyssey is important, right? Like, we are in a unique scenario here in Cornell where we have all this beautiful area around us to go and explore and stuff. I think that there are some inherent problems with when they do most of their programming, which is beginning of the year pre-orientation. If you're a student working a job and you can't get to Cornell before orientation, like, you're not going to go on an Outdoor Odyssey trip, right? It's just because you have to sacrifice the time to get up here and stuff like that. What that means is that the Outdoor Odyssey product, to think about it, is inelastic, right? If you're going to pay for an experience to go outdoor, go explore, you're going to pay a lot of money for that. And even a small increase in the amount of fees can help recoup a lot of the revenue. And so that was, again, some of the recommendations, is that the overall fee and the aggregate average of how much Outdoor Odyssey charges for their, you know, variety of different trips that they offer should go up in the next few years as well. Not substantially, but you can explore, like, incremental increases, right? Because if everything else is increasing in cost, why not increase your revenue? You know?
I'm going to cede the chairship to Vice President Ting, and I'm going to take my right of first recognition. I think that the difference in this situation is that other byline organizations, we've analyzed their rollover and we've said, okay, you guys haven't used this rollover in the past. Outdoor Odyssey has spent every single cent every single year, and that's the reason they're in the situation they're in now. They've actually spent more. They've had to be covered by a Cornell department to operate. And the other difference about Outdoor Odyssey is that the reason they're student activity funded is so that low-income students can go on these trips, right? It's not a product. It's not being framed as a product. They have tickets for people who are high income, who can go on these trips. But the reason that they're student activity funded is so that they can provide these trips equal access to all students, all incoming students. If you need financial assistance with these things, to be able to go on these incredibly impactful orientation trips where you can meet people and be experiencing Cornell before you even get here in a really well set up, really well trained environment, then you can do that. And if we just keep raising prices and not giving them any more money to be able to cover these students, you're just going to have less and less low-income students who are going to be able to do these things. And it's just going to completely lose its mission and its focus.
So I would disagree with that slightly, because if you look at the overall number of expenses of Outdoor Odyssey, yes, the stuff that they fund out in scholarships and gifts, that can be revenue if they said, all right, screw it, we're not going to give out scholarships, right? That's only 10K, right? 10K out of their nearly 100K operating budget that they would be sacrificing otherwise, right? And so it's like, if the student assembly's role is to provide scholarships for students to go on this, well, then the byline allocation should match 10K, right? It shouldn't go higher, right? And I think the whole idea is that it's funded, it's supposed to be cheaper, right, than, you know, going out and doing all the trips and operating your own business with this subsidy coming in. But at the same time, it's like, if every other cost is going up around us, right, whether it be the rentals, the vans to get there, the trainings, the overall expenditures for paying the student coordinators, for the food, for everything else, it doesn't make sense to keep the overall, like, and there are multiple pricing tiers, right? I mean, they offer six or eight trips, or like types of trips, 10, yeah, around like eight, you know, somewhere in there, like different types of trips, and they vary in range and pricing, right? So the lowest price trip is like 100, and then the highest is, I think, 495 something. Yeah. So it's like they operate across all of it, right? And so that's why we're saying explore the elasticity, see where you can just squeeze out more incremental revenue to make sure that you don't end up in the hole, you know, next year, right? I mean, being 20K in the hole is like, it's kind of brutal. Like, I don't know. And we're doing everything the best we can to help them out. So.
Thank you for that, VP DeLorenzo. Seeing as that this is pretty contested, I will now be implementing a minute 30-second speaking limit. We've heard two con speeches thus far, one pro speech. The chair would smile favorably upon another pro speech for any representatives. Representative Balistrieri.
Is it on? Can you hear me?
Speak a little closer to the microphone, please.
I want to say first off that I, as a member of the Appropriations Committee, I think it's a misconception to say that we give out money for things that people have done in the past. All of the money we give out is with the expectation that groups do certain things, and sometimes they're things they haven't done before. You know, groups say they're going to put on concerts, or they're going to have events, or they're going to bring in speakers, and we can't 100% say they're going to do that. But, you know, they pitch it to us and we decide what they are being given. So I think it's a misconception to say that this is out of the norm. So I don't want to make a motion already. I really want people to ask questions, but I do think that Odyssey has a significant impact on the student body. And I think we've gone over this quite a few times, and they are, you know, student activity fee compliant now. To keep them at $2 is a little bit cruel when we give just inflation adjustments to everybody else. Like, even if we just went off inflation, we would still increase the allocation. I think it's, you know, a little bit brutal, you know, in Rocco's words, to keep them in the hole, and we could be giving them a lot more help. And really, it is 90 cents. I think we can afford to give them that.
Thank you for that. President Keel?
I move to reject the Appropriations Committee's decision and to vote on a new allocation.
That is an order. There's a second on the floor. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we'll go into voting. All those in favor, so right now, all those in favor to reject the Appropriations Committee's recommendations, please raise your placard. All those opposed? All those abstaining? In a vote of 16-0-4, we will be rejecting the Appropriation Committee's recommendation. I will be giving the chairship back to President Keel.
Thank you, Vice President Ting. So this process is any person can make a motion for any amount of funds, either lower or higher. And then once that motion is made, we are currently in general discussion about anything. Once a motion is made, we are now discussing that specific motion. Representative Wong.
Motion to increase the funding to $2.90.
That motion is in order. There is a second. So now we'll be in discussion of this. You can close discussion at any time on this. Any points or motions on the floor?
Motion to close this debate.
There's a motion on the floor. There's a second. Is there any dissent to close the debate? Seeing none, we will now be voting on the allocation of $2.90 for Outdoor Odyssey. Is there any dissent to that? Seeing none, $2.90 after Odyssey. Okay, thank you, Dr. Odyssey, for coming. We will now be moving on with the agenda to orientation.
Good. Can we do SAFC first? Because I know they have a lot of people here.
There will have to be a motion on the floor to suspend the rules and address the agenda. Deputy Parliamentarian Coleman.
I move to suspend the rules and strike Office of Ethics from the report section of the agenda.
That is in order. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Point of information. Orientation is the TATCON center that puts on orientation for new students that we fund. Is there any dissent to striking the Office of Ethics? Seeing none, that is an order. Point of information, Representative Wong.
I don't know if it's a recommendation, but we do have three more of the byline reports. And each time you have 10 minutes speaking time, I don't know if, like, if it's a motion to have the speaking time be 5 minutes so we could move this process along because we have a lot of resolutions to get through.
That recommendation is in order to have 5 minutes speaking time. So you think you can fly through orientation in 5 minutes?
Let's do SAFC first.
You have to suspend the rules. You have to make a motion.
Motion to suspend the rules to move up SAFC over before orientation in the Vice President of Finance byline report section.
Is there a second? What's the second? Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Dissent. Okay, well, now we're going into voting. All those in favor of moving, suspending the rules and moving SAFC before orientation, please raise your brackets now. All those opposed? That clearly passes SAFC. You're up next.
Cool. All right. I will fly through this. So the Appropriations Committee recommends funding the Student Activities Funding Commission at $132 for the 2024-2026 Student Activity Fee Allocation Cycle. So SAFC allocates funds to nearly 900 potential undergrad organizations. Their mission is to support undergraduate organizations in their ability to foster community belonging at Cornell through funding opportunities. So they basically, SAFC just enables undergrad students to maximize their potential through extracurricular opportunities, provided funding for public events, organizations, operational expenses, and much more. This financial support for organizations allows every student to find their niche on campus and make the most of their undergrad opportunities. So just sort of for context, about 4 years ago, SAFC embarked on a multi-year reform that would institute new policies to prevent the incentive of organizations to spend their allocation to receive tier increases in the following years. This reform would introduce a new set of requirements focusing on internal operations and community engagement for organizations to hit to move up their tier caps. Additionally, during these reforms, the creation of a new byline organization occurred, the Club Sports Council, which would be responsible for funding club sports teams because of their enhanced knowledge in that area. So all the club sports teams used to be under SAFC. They were since pulled out into the Club Sports Council. Other changes that occurred with the reforms were that during the COVID academic years, when the reforms were being finalized, undergrad organizations' tier caps were frozen, so they cannot increase or decrease their annual allocations. Next, SAFC introduced the Public Events Fund, where organizations could receive up to $5,000 per semester to host an event that any Cornell student could attend. Additionally, SAFC worked with Campus Activities on the overall of their funding guidelines. They used to be 7 pages to create a new set of universal guidelines that are now only 2 pages. So finally, SAFC updated the payment request system to become more streamlined. Under the previous model, organizations' budgets would be controlled by SAFC, and the organization would need to submit a payment request at the specified time for each charge they want to rack up. However, under the updated model, organizations would be granted their budgets at the start of the academic year and would now submit payment requests on a rolling basis to be approved. So operationally, SAFC has an exec board of 6 members with 5 juniors and 1 sophomore. Additionally, they have the equivalent of a G-body of 40 SAFC consultants who are each assigned 15 organizations to oversee and help assist in maximizing their funding. Every week, SAFC has an e-board meeting. SAFC consultants work on their own time via email and Zoom, and they help their assigned clubs. And the SAFC co-presidents host office hours frequently to help the consultants. And then lastly, they review the public events fund applications 4 times a semester. So in terms of their funding system, SAFC has the following annual tiers for undergrad orgs to obtain. That's 500, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, 6,000, and 8,000. So in regards to the finances, SAFC, basically during the pandemic restrictions period when it overlapped with SAFC reforms, they amassed a significant rollover balance of 61.11% of their annual allocation from that time. Throughout the 2021-2022 academic year, they made significant progress in whittling this down, and by basically, you know, such that at the beginning of the 2022, so end of the 22 academic year, they only had around 33% of that year's annual SAFC allocation in their reserve account. Despite this, with all the tier changes and clubs, you know, basically not being able to move up tiers and reforms taking place, their rollover did sort of increase substantially in the next year, such that the end of year balance was 80,
was around 80% of their 2022 to 2023 academic year allocation. So in the case of SAFC, basically I'd say the elephant in the room is the massive rollover balance going into this academic year. And when accounting for the formal separation of Club Sports Council, it's technically around 116% of this year's allocation that they had at the beginning of the year. So during the hearing, SAFC highlighted aspects that caused this situation and the steps they'd be taking to address in the coming academic years. Originally, the start of the rollover issue primarily began during the pandemic period because of the restrictions and spending criteria. And then furthermore, groups would need to reorganize themselves internally to return from COVID that occurred. So organizations focus on recruitment and membership. Additionally, the process for obtaining funds was tedious, and that's why they changed it in terms of, expensing the stuff. So just these issues, SAFC removed the previous $300 spending limit on recruitment, allowing organizations to recruit more members. They updated the payment request system. They removed the previous budget cycle. They created an environment where clubs would not need to plan their expenses as far out in advance. They introduced a public events fund. They shortened the organization's spending guidelines, and they plan on unfreezing those tiers in this next academic year. And SAFC shifted to the commissioner model, or shifted from the commissioner model to the consultant model. Notably during this past summer in discussion with them, because they had a large rollover balance, this is where that slope day money came from. It came from SAFC in that rollover account. And so we did our work to help fund slope day for this year to make sure that they were okay. And then in this agreement, SAFC also agreed to allow the student assembly to access up to an additional $600,000 throughout this academic year for capital projects or initiatives. Although a significant amount of the original SAFC rollover still exists, and they will likely be getting an SAF increase for this year, the organization is heavily reliant on the remaining rollover funds to carry them through the upcoming academic years, and they put together this lovely projection model. So if anyone's interested, you can read through here and how they projected the tiers out. But they still do need to hang on to, about half of their rollover that they had at the beginning this year in order to fund the next few years. So considering all the factors of SAFC and how important undergrad orgs are for the Cornell community, the Appropriations Committee feels an increase in the SAFC allocation is necessary for the organization to continue to grow and thrive. However, despite the current large rollover balance, the organization has recently finished its four-year reform plan and will see subsequent large increase in funding throughout the coming academic years. One final note I will add is that regardless, basically SAFC needs to get 35% of the student activity fee, and that's stipulated in the student assembly charter. And so if you multiply out that 132 number to kind of where we're at now, where we're projecting the fee to go, it's likely that 132 is going to increase just a bit. Just a bit higher. So this is why the Appropriations Committee to just vote to allocate 132 and then basically whatever adjustments would need to be made in the end that we make. So yeah, that's pretty much it for SAFC. I'll invite the lovely SAFC people up here.
Oh, yeah. Any comments from SAFC?
I think Rocco pretty much covered everything. Of course, the only thing we really needed to address was the rollover. And there were a plethora of reasons of why that rollover happened. And in addition, there are a plethora of solutions that we came up with to address that rollover to unlock more funding for organizations in the coming years.
Yeah, just to add on to that, pretty much every reason that we have found to occur in our rollover, we have tackled in some way. Whether that be changing our system to be from being commissioners to being consultants, or from removing deadlines generally, we really just tackled this problem, and spending will increase vastly in the next few academic years.
Lovely. With that, I would love to hear people's thoughts, and including yours, Rocco, on tabling or postponing this vote until the last meeting, since we don't know what the allocation is going to be and the appropriations recommendation is there. You've already given the presentation.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I don't know if that's what they did in the past, but that would make sense to me. And so that would be the November 16th meeting once we finish up this week's organization. So this Sunday and then next Sunday, and then we can figure out what 35% of that number is for SAFC and then vote on it at that point. That makes sense. That's cool, you know.
With that, the chair would motion to postpone the vote on SAFC until the November 6th meeting. So, there's a second. Okay. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, November 6th, we will vote on the allocation for SAFC. Orientation.
All right. The Appropriations Committee recommends funding the Tacon Center for New Students Orientation at $12.25 for this upcoming cycle. So the Tacon Center for New Students is basically that center on North Campus that helps all new students at Cornell come and adjust to life at Cornell. And their most significant contribution to the Cornell community is putting on orientation. So the unique opportunity to interact with every single new student who matriculates to Cornell through the orientation program and begin communicating to new students in June and continue throughout the summer. So operationally, orientation is primarily run by the staff within the Tacon Center for New Students and has a student-led component that is comprised of 12 student employees of the Tacon Center of New Students. These students are paid from a separate account that is not the account the SAFC funds go into, and these student employees lay the groundwork for orientation and do most of the high-level planning for the year's orientation in the late fall to early spring of the semesters before that summer's orientation. Moreover, for each orientation cycle, the Tacon Center solicits applicants and selects orientation leaders who lead small group programs of students through discussions throughout the week. So regarding the overall calendar of events, planning for the fall semester orientation begins in the late fall of the academic year beforehand. And although this year there will be no spring semester orientation because there are no new transfer students, this orientation usually takes place at the beginning of the spring semester and is a smaller scale than the fall orientation. Throughout the spring semester and summer, the Tacon Center for New Students does most of the logistical planning to execute the fall semester orientation. So, yeah. In terms of the finances of orientation, one notable element is that recently occurred was the transition of funding from the Orientation Steering Committee, an all student-led organization, to the Tacon Center for New Students, which is technically a Cornell department. This switch occurred because during the pandemic period, many of the students involved in the OSC graduated, so the formation of a new executive board and general body to execute orientation was too difficult to accomplish. So during the pandemic restrictions period going into the 2021-22 academic year, the OSC amassed a large rollover balance approximately equal to 62% of their annual allocation from that time. Because many of the orientation events were virtual in the 2020-2021 academic year. So going into the 2022-23 academic year, orientation had a rollover balance that was approximately equal to 45% of their annual allocation from that year. But with the formal switch from the OSC to the Tacon Center, they had a rollover balance going into the 23-24 academic year equal to around 57% of their annual allocation. So in the 23-24 academic year, with the Tacon Center for New Students organizing nearly all the planning aspects of orientation, the overall experience during the week was enhanced, but increased expenditures came with it. The organization projects to spend around 130% of its annual allocation throughout this academic year, leaving it with a projected 24-25 rollover balance of around 26% of its 2023-24 annual student activity fee allocation. So transitioning now into this decision in the 24-25 student activity fee cycle, with the increase in giveaways that orientation does, the increase in interactive events throughout the week, and larger programming led by the Tacon Center for New Students to project annual expenditures of around $220,000 for the next academic years. So comparatively to expenses from the 22-23 academic year, this is nearly a 50% increase in the cost of orientation. When digging into the costs increase further, large drivers are due to renting more inflatables, more giveaway items, and a significant increase in the number of staff/student meals being purchased. When asked about the food cost increase, it should be noted that the organization cited the fact that they needed the to incentivize OLs to register for by providing meals, as well as that some students who do not live on campus may not have access to food during the week until the dining plan begins. Notably, one of the projected costs for the following academic year is a $30,000 contribution to CUPB, which is the Cornell University Program Board, for their collaboration speaker event, which is set to occur in Fall 24 Orientation Week. Since CUPB already met with APSCOM and their allocation recommendation has been voted on, the VP of Finance was able to compare the cost breakdown and compare it to the 2024-25 academic year. During this process, the Tacon Center for Nude Students noted that they had decided upon a $30,000 amount because they wanted to contribute half of the cost of the CUPB collaboration event, making the total cost expected the event to be around $60,000. After researching more about this event within CUPB Financials Workbook, their organization or their orientation week event had a projected cost of around $50,000 that the Appropriations Committee incorporated into the CUPB recommended allocation decision. This meant that if the Appropriations Committee decided to incorporate the $30,000 amount to the Tacon Center for New Students recommended allocation, the sum of money would be double counted, meaning that the actual sum of money requested by the Tacon Center for New Students would now be $190,000. Under this assumption that the average student enrollment paying the fee in the next two academic years would be around 15,500 undergrads, a SAF allocation of $12.25 per student per year would amount to around $189,000 for the Tacon Center for New Students. So considering all the factors of the Tacon Center for New Students and how important orientation is for the Cornell community, the Appropriations Committee feels that an increase to the Tacon Center for New Students allocation is necessary for the organization to continue to grow and thrive. However, given the double counting of funds for the planned CUPB collaboration event, this increase in SAF funding is less than what orientation has requested, but is proportional to the aggregate amount of money that they would now be projected to spend.
Perfectly. All right, orientation, you may come up. I'll give you 2 minutes and then we'll get into discussion.
Thank you. I just wanted to address a couple of things that were shared in that introduction. First, I just want to clarify that my assistant director was the one who presented, and so unfortunately she is traveling right now, so I'm going to do my best to answer any questions. But one thing she wanted to apologize for is the language of contribute half of the cost of the CUPB collaboration event. She did not remember using the word half, but if she did, she apologizes and recognizes that that miscommunication is on her. The intention is to be a true partner in that work. And so I wanted to address the question about double funds. I absolutely understand where this looks like a double request. And so I just wanted to clarify and use this past year's event as an example. So this past year, we brought in a speaker who is a little bit of an older speaker, Joel McHale, for those who are familiar. The event filled up very quickly, and we were able to get the speaker for a better price. But it was still something that had to be negotiated. Even so, the event altogether was just about $60,000. So we contributed $30,000 and CUPB contributed $30,000. Essentially, while we can't, I can't speak to what CUPB's budget proposal was, what I can clarify is it's our understanding, and we've also looked to confirm this since, it's our understanding that they were intending to increase their collaboration and input to bring in more notable speakers. So we requested the $30,000 to continue our collaboration, and they had requested to increase in order to bring more notable speakers. I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions on the floor? Representative Wong.
I would like to speak favorably of this increase. I think it was a good presentation and we see need to increase the budget. So I would motion to end debate.
The motion is in order. Vice President David Menzo.
I'll dissent to that.
Dissent. Would you like to withdraw your motion? Okay, that motion is withdrawn.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, going through that argument of increased money for this event during orientation week, we can see in the CUPB projected amount, which we met, right? It was 50K. And this past year, if it was truly a 50-50 split, I can see here that, yes, it was a 50-50 split with a total sum of money of that event that was around 60K. So I think the thing here is that if you stacked on that 50K and 30K amount, that would be 80K. And so the way we run into this, and we highlighted it in the last meeting with the programming council, is that the difference between a speaker and a notable speaker in those different tiers, it's marginal. Some speaker that you could get for 50K versus one that you could get for 80K, I don't think a lot of students could tell the difference from, if I'm being truly honest. It depends on their things, right? And we've seen the artist price increases over time. I think in talking with all these programming events and big, large-scale events, you can essentially justify any increase in funding by saying that you want to get a bigger speaker for your event next year, or a bigger artist, or a bigger musical act, right? And that was something that we were very attentive to in the programming council allocation and going through everything. I think orientation more broadly, the student meals being paid and a lot of those cost increases for giveaways and stuff like that, it's just kind of eating up a lot of money at the current moment. And we didn't even get into that within the report, but if there are questions that I can help answer some of them.
You got 45 seconds to respond. It's 45 seconds speaking time. I'm giving you a gavel bang at 15 seconds.
Thank you. I completely understand where you're coming from, and I think the challenge that we're trying to figure out is, if that's the case, then CUPB should be the one having to explain their increase, because we identified that we put $30,000 towards this program this past year and recognized that we asked for the same amount of money towards that program because we're trying to be good stewards of our rollover. CUPB is the one that increased. And so I think where I'm confused is trying to understand why our budget was paused and the other budget was approved.
So that would mean
there's a point. Any points or motions on the floor? Vice President Alonzo.
Point of information. So in going through all the worksheets, I evaluate them as the meetings happen. We evaluated CUPB first before that. It's a lot of worksheets to sift through, but there's a lot of good data in there. So I apologize if that was incorporating to that decision and it shouldn't have been. I'll note that in that sheet, it just basically said projected amount, orientation week, 50K with a budget breakdown. But the budget breakdown was only like artists, right? Essentially, because CUPB does have a lot of, other operational expenses like getting porta potties and stuff, like they do their stuff in academic buildings. So a lot of the cost is just with the speaker. They did highlight that in there. And so, you know, I think the allocation is fair of where it's at.
That's time. Points or motions on the floor? Point of information, Representative Bay.
So I guess my question is for Kevin. So like, besides kind of like increasing the allocation to like, you know, be able to afford a better speaker, like, not that that's not important at all, would like not meeting this your initial request of $14.20 at all like hinder like orientation from like going off like and achieving its mission of, like, you know, properly integrating students into Cornell?
45 seconds.
It would impact our ability to host an event on one of those evenings, considering the entire budget for that event was cut, as opposed to, again, any request for an increase to that budget. So CUPB has that money. We no longer have any contribution to make. Therefore, if CUPB decides that they don't want to do the event on that night, we have no program for students on that night.
So I would say point of
information. 45 seconds.
Yeah, point of information. A lot of the costs of orientation is, yes, some of those programming events. But there's also a significant amount that is just like free food to give away, free trinkets, stuff with the Cornell logo on it. And it's like, if the allocation, even without the concert, right, that increase from 11 to 12.25 is just purely to account for that extra giveaway material that they're going to be giving out. I would also say for the programming on some of the nights, it was extremely frustrating earlier this year when programming events were trying to be held by some of the student groups. They were told to basically screw off because orientation was doing their own thing because they're worried that students would go to those other events over orientation.
right? And so I think if there's not programming on one night, obviously the idea with orientation is to create a sense of environment, but a lot of students end up making their way to college town throughout some of those later evenings.
So that's time. Representative Reziga.
I just wanted to like ask, like, is it like the increase to the amount of money that's being given for like free things, stuff like that, supposed to be equivalent to like the increase in like freshmen that are coming?
Yeah, so just to address both of those comments very quickly, the increase in trinkets or giveaways is not included in this. And it's not at all what we're discussing here. The actual number for giveaways is very insignificant. There are much, much larger aspects of the program, including I recognize that what was highlighted was inflatables, giveaways, and meals. That's not entirely true. It's rising cost of attendance, matriculation rates, rising cost of production, goods, food, and also, as already named in here, it's been named several times that we need to incentivize OLs. You all talked about this with Outdoor Odyssey as well. Students are volunteering their time. It's about equity and access. So the food that was mentioned earlier is our way of being able to sustain students and pay for their meals while they are volunteering their time for our program.
What is that with our new students? 45 seconds, De Lorenzo.
So point of information. We could go down the list of expenses that they spent this past year. Don't really know. Is this confidential? Oh, no, it's not. Okay, cool. Around 7.7K on giveaways, 16K on inflatables, another 10K on giveaways, 10K on food trucks, 6K on blankets. The contract with that was 30K. The staff meals were 20K. The small group support was 17K. The student meals were 18K. And the golf cart renting was around 9K. And then they projected some out for spring orientation, but spring orientation hasn't happened yet. But there's a significant amount of money that's just being driven by like giveaways, food, stuff like that.
Trustee Swenson.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Kevin, for coming. I really appreciate it. You know, freshman orientation is one of the most integral parts of coming to Cornell for the 6,000 or 4,000 students, you know, that come to campus each year. It's a very difficult time for students. And, you know, in part with that, it's also equally as difficult to put on a freshman orientation, especially with OLs last year. I think there was, you know, a needed for 200 orientation leaders. By the end of the last school year, there was, you know, half of that who were registered. This is in part because there is not enough money or resources to incentivize OLs to engage with the freshmen. You know, there's many challenges regarding that, but, you know, freshman orientation, you know, we're asking for $1.50. And then there's also a good point about the other organization. There's no, you know,
that's time. Kevin,
point of information.
Sorry.
The OL holdback, I think, was to some degree incentivizing them. You guys did find a way to incentivize them with Big Red Bucks. Is that correct?
Well.
Yeah. There was some incentive in place. The holdback was mainly with them having to come back in person the 2 days before orientation week started, which overlapped with a majority of the internships. In this upcoming academic year, the first day is going to end up being the 27th, 26th, one of those days. And then the week before is going to be orientation. So there shouldn't be that bottleneck in terms of people coming back and internships ending, you know, so people can come back to Ithaca, get trained in person and stuff like that.
Kevin, 45 seconds.
Yeah, I disagree with that completely. And I'll say, as an example, we are currently recruiting for our paid student team, not volunteers, paid student team. We've had to bring down that team size from 12 to a smaller team, and we are still struggling to recruit. And again, that's for a paid position, never mind a volunteer position that we're asking folks to give up their internship time for. So, yes, that is a considerable challenge.
You can be recognized for time, but point of information about the rules and stuff. You can be recognized for time if you'd like.
Recognized for time.
Yeah.
Equivalently, right, the question was OLs, not the staff student leaders. If you're having trouble recruiting the staff student leaders, that's a completely separate budget account in the TACON Center than the student activity fee orientation budget, right? The OL incentivization was giving them some amount of money. To my knowledge, it was 1,000 BRBs. I could be wrong, but That's what I think I saw at one point. And the holdback was, you know, for example, someone like me who was in Miami over the summer, I had to book it back to Ithaca for the start of orientation week to help with other programming stuff. But I can only get back to Ithaca on the drive back by like Saturday at night. Whereas if I wanted to be an OL, I would have to be here Saturday during the day, like early in the morning.
Do I get to address
you
that?
You did not. Time? Other points or motions on the floor? Representative Ezka.
Thank you. Just very quickly acknowledging, I recognize it's two different things. The correlation I was drawing is different. It's not about budget. And just to also clarify, the reference of this past year, we had a third of the staff volunteers we needed, and as a result, had to cut three of our small group meetings. So instead of new students being able to meet with their orientation leader three times, as many of you all did, they got to meet with their orientation leader once, and that was a pretty considerable draw to our program that both our orientation team and our new students did not get to experience.
Representative Wong.
We were extremely quick to raise funding for Slope Day, which is something that is, at the end of the day, unnecessary. But now we're talking about people's job and ability to orientate new students to Cornell University. So I think it's imperative that we raise the funding for orientation.
45 seconds to Lorenzo.
I mean, we are increasing the amount of money for orientation. I think that if we're evaluating the different sort of holdbacks and capacity and stuff, the orientation leaders cannot be paid from the student activity fee allocation, right? They can't get their incentive that way. The holdback was the labor of getting people back to Ithaca soon enough. If we're evaluating the overall orientation programming, focusing on what they do, they do the events throughout the day, the inflatables, the programming event, which we already allocated the money for, and you can still have jurisdiction over that, right? Just interact with them and talk with them. And then in addition to that, it's just a bunch of giveaways, a bunch of free food, a bunch of expensive things, right? And it's kind of like, would orientation be improved with more of that, or is the marginal thing, did we already cross that a
last time? Representative, you get 45 seconds, Kevin.
I yield my time.
Okay. Representative Berry.
I think it's very important to like think about this. Like, you know, orientation is like kind of like the first introduction that students get to being on campus. Like thinking about like the 3,000 plus students that will be matriculating and like the amount of those students that like, you know, might be looking forward to actually going to like orientation events because they don't necessarily like want to participate in like, you know, party culture. They don't want to go to any OE parties. They don't really need to drink. So like, ensuring that we have events like this like makes it more accessible for students to have different interests, to be able to interact with one another, learn more about Cornell, and just be able to have fun and at something that they actually enjoy rather than being like supposed to go to party.
That was 45 seconds.
Again, just focusing on what the Appropriations Committee recognized and going through the budgets. No programming, like the total amount of programming events is not being cut. It's just that we already allocated this money to the organization that orientation partners up with. We're not cutting anything else of their food and giveaway expenses and other programming events. It's purely just the amount of money that was already allocated for this one particular event. And we're not going to sit here and double count that amount of money.
Kevin, 45 seconds.
I don't think that there's anything in that statement that I can respond to, but thank you.
Okay.
Point of information.
Point of information.
So was there anything in like the CU Cornell University program board's like appropriations committee recommendation that like kind of like ensured that like this money will definitely be going to like, you know, orientation? Like was there like a formal agreement signed like just so they can't pull out or anything like that?
So yeah, if you just give me a sec to pull it up, I know exactly where it is. CUPB. Okay. So, I mean, for CUPB, one of their events, let me see, scrolling over. Okay. Here it is. Events for the 2024-25 academic year. I can just basically read this out. This event is called the Welcome Back Comedy Show. And they have some marketing costs, not a lot, not that significant. Food for volunteers, food for performers, not that significant. And the total artist speaker cost that they budgeted was $50,000 in this budget sheet. But if it's called the Welcome Back Comedy Show, right, it's kind of like, I'd like to, like, just, yeah, going back, if you go back in the sheet from this past year, that the thing was titled Welcome Back Comedy Show with Joel McHale, which is the same guy that Orientation partnered with before. So it's, you know, it's, I mean, it is like they plan for it. We allocated that amount of money based off of that amount. And it's kind of like, there's no sense in double counting it if that was, you know, if there is a lack of communication between the orgs of who's going to fund what.
Representative Edwards.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, orientation is a very important part of the Cornell experience. I personally was in PSP, which means I spent my entire summer here getting to know the campus, like, making friends. And I still recognize that, like, orientation is a very vital part of the Cornell experience. I personally couldn't utilize all of the aspects of orientation because it is so hard for them to pull off what is required to happen when you have thousands of students coming at the same time that you have to accommodate and make sure that they are, like, well taken care of. So I think it's very important that we give them the amount of funding that they need and that they're requesting, or else students will come here and they won't have the same opportunity.
That's time. Kevin, 45 seconds.
I just want to also go back to address the question that was asked about the program. So as Rocco just shared, the program is called Welcome Back. That means that the answer to the question is no. There is nothing that actually requires it happen during orientation. It happens at any point welcoming back students. So I just want to clarify that.
45 seconds.
There was a saying in law that if you're factually wrong, you attack the interpretation. And if you're interpreting it wrong, you attack the fact. I think if we look at the historical pattern of CUPB and what they call these shows, it's called the Welcome Back Show with Joel McHale. And orientation is over here saying that last year they did the collaboration event with Joel McHale during orientation week. I think it's foolish to say that there's no agreement that it won't be during orientation week, right? If that's what's basically decided in right here. I feel like this is a very simple communication. You reach out to CUPB, just get it solidified that this event is going to happen. Partner with them, say we can help advertise your event. They love that. Like, just, I mean, I think it's very foolish to double count this amount of money.
Representative Risco.
Yeah, I just think that, like, the same way that we were just, like, really adamant to, like, increase the Cornell Odyssey experiences, like, budget, because, like, it's a really crucial part of, like, freshman, like, intake and stuff like that. I think we should be the same way when it comes to, like, orientation, especially because that serves a much larger population for freshman students. And as he said, like, they, like, I think he said, like, last year, they were only able to meet with their orientation leaders once instead of, like, three times. So that is a cut. And he's, like, saying that, like, oh, you know, this event that is, like, really important to, like, creating, like, a welcoming culture is, like, gonna struggle to happen, is, like, I think that's also, like, a negative. And also, like, we gave Slope Day, like, an extra, like, $435,000 a year, and that's mostly based off the fact that we want good artists to help create a good culture, give students to look forward to. Why can't we give that to freshmen, give them something to look forward to?
So just in recognition of time, I think I went into this cycle, and I've said this time and time again, we're not evaluating the mission, the purpose of these organizations. We're evaluating the underneath financials of them, right? And this is purely a financial decision that says, hey, in going through these sheets, we recognize that this amount of money would be double counted and unnecessarily increased. We already are looking at a very significant increase in the overall student activity fee. And I feel like it would be a wise idea to not double count this amount of money so we don't run into problems later on.
45 seconds, Kevin.
My only response is that double count is the wrong word. I that's all I could say.
Vice President Singh, 45 seconds.
In addition to what Representative Everett and Rezika have said, I also want to note that the Tatkin Center has a physical location within RPCC. They're the first line of support for many of these new students. I also want to note the fact that orientation has only recently moved to the Tatkin Center within, I believe, was it the past year or so?
So there's still that transition period of, like, you know, melding the two together, keeping like the solid form for future orientation leaders to be informed. I also want to note that current initiatives to train like orientation leaders to be able to give like anti-sexual assault consent ed training also falls under the purview of TATKIN, which is essential that, you know, like we need to be very careful where we give our support versus what we don't support.
Just all right. I'm setting a 30-second speaking time in recognition of the time limit. 30 seconds, Del Lorenzo.
In recognition of that mission, I agree. It's very important that there is training on sexual assault prevention, as well as everything else that we want to fit in within orientation. This decision and decrease was driven by the fact that there was an overlap in the amount of money being allocated for the same event. No events are being cut, right? We already allocated the amount of money for this event. This is no different than when Alt Breaks got their allocation and assumed somebody would take it back. And we did that in a way so that Alt Breaks could maintain their byline status, but at the same time, not double count the allocation of the student assembly.
That's time. Kevin, 30 seconds.
Just to very briefly correct, the amount budgeted was $12,000. We spent $30,000 using our rollovers as good stewards. So the correction to that statement is the $30,000 is what's missing from our request. So that full amount is lost.
Representative Everett.
So this is for Mr. Perry. Would the $1,420 that you originally requested be enough to cover the expenses? So I would really urge the assembly, if you're here on this campus, that means you went through some sort of orientation, which means it was useful for you in some way, shape, or form. I think if the orientation leaders are asking for more money, we should be able to give them more money. We can pop it for SZA. We can pop it for the catch.
That's time. I just have a point to make here. It seems like the right way to go forward with this, if we've already allocated the money to CUPD, is just pass a resolution requiring them to allocate that money towards an orientation event. Just a thought for everybody. Representative Bakri on the Zoom.
I just wanted to say, if the money was double counted before and it has been all this time and the orientation leaders are still saying that more money is needed, then why do we care to make it even lesser, even though there's that overlap?
So just for information, the money wasn't double counted before. The breakdown was, I believe, 12K-ish from orientation, 18K from CUPB. Now, if we're saying that half the amount of money would be 30K and then CUPB already allocated X amount of money. And also CUPB's total expenses didn't, you know, they have enough money in the rollover to help cover it. We're not actually, like, it's new this year, right? This was not a thing that happened before. There are no other resources financially being cut from orientation besides the fact that we are just adamant about going through these sheets and making sure that amounts of money aren't double count.
That's time. Kevin, 30 seconds.
Yield.
Okay, Trustee Swenson.
Patrick, just in comment to your aforementioned comment, you know, with writing resolution to, you know, bind the other organization to giving the money to the freshman orientation. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't have the power to do that yet because of the charter amendment that was struck down by President Pollock today, right?
No, it would just be in our final byline application. We've done this with a couple other organizations. We put stipulations on their funding, which we have the power to do. So the stipulation would be that money has to be used for an orientation program in partnership. So it would just be passed with our final resolution at the last meeting of the semester, if that was the way the assembly wanted to go with this, which is up to them. Representative Bakri. Oh, excuse me. Representative Rosca.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, to keep it with, like, I don't know. I just feel like he's not only talking about, like, double counting the money. He's also talking about this, like, cut to, like, how, like, they haven't been able to, like, orientation to their fullest extent with only meeting with, like, orientation leaders once instead of three times. So I move to reject the appropriations committee's recommendation of $12.25 and to vote on a new appropriation.
All right, the motion on the floor currently is to reject the Appropriations Committee's decision. Is there a second?
Dissent.
There's dissent. All those in favor of rejecting the Appropriation Committee's decision, please raise your pockets at this time. The motion on the floor is to reject the Appropriation Committee's decision. If you're on Zoom, you can raise your hand to vote. Please raise your pockets high. All those opposed. That does fail. We're back in discussion. It needs a two-thirds to reject. We're back in discussion.
I guess I'll just respond to that. There are some constraints in terms of putting on events like orientation. There is the financial constraints and then the human capital constraints in order to have enough people to help operate it. The crux of this discussion is they have budgeted an extra $30,000 to collaborate with CUPB when we have already allocated that amount of money to CUPB for this same event that's going to happen. There is no change to the capacity of orientation, to the other financial aspects of orientation. We're just doing our due diligence as student assembly to ensure that the student activity fee is as small as possible so that other students are able to afford the student activity fee because it's already going to go up so much.
That's time. Kevin, 30 seconds to respond.
Yeah, I just want to rearticulate, and I apologize, I sound like a broken record here, but just to clarify, I can't speak for CUPB's request, but what I can articulate is we asked for $30,000 to contribute to that event. So if CUPB asks for an increase, that is their decision. Our request to contribute to this event was denied, so therefore we have no budget. CUPB, if they ask for an increase, that increase is still not enough to run the event we ran last year.
Representative Berry, did you have your... Representative Berry, you're recognized.
Question. So Rocco is saying that this other body that was approved for money for this event, it's already there, and it's the same amount of money that was spent for the event last year.
It's actually $20,000
more. $20,000
more.
The question is, so you're saying that you need this approved of like the what Rock was considering double to put on the same event that happened last year, or is it that you want the event to be twice as good?
No, thank you for clarifying. That is exactly what I'm saying. So just to put numbers to that, we contributed $30,000. CUPB contributed, I'm guessing that it was from their rollover. I don't know where their additional funds came from. I can only speak to mine. We gave additional funds from our rollover. And so in order to do this event again, it costs $60,000. If we get nothing and they get 50, we cannot do the event again. We are asking for $30,000 to do our portion of the event. I cannot speak to why CUPB asked for an increase.
That's time. Representative Wong.
I'm kind of confused why people are saying no. I would open up the floor or ask everybody who is speaking, who voted against it, why we need money for orientation. And if orientation people are here saying they need money for orientation, it's kind of obvious that they need money for orientation. So I think it's in our best interest to vote in favor of this. I feel like if you voted against it, you don't have an actual reason. I feel like you should vote abstain or vote yes.
So in response to that,
right? 30 seconds.
Yeah. The discussion is not if we cut this amount of money from orientation, other programs will suffer within orientation. It's not. The question is this event that we already allocated the $50,000 for CUPB to do in partnership with orientation, how can we fix that and amend that now such that orientation has a stake? I appreciate the idea of Patrick to put in a stipulation because we've done that for a bunch of these organizations, but then they have to go and collaborate with other byline organizations as well. And this will also help the orientation aspect of being a student-led initiative, right?
That's time. Kevin, 30 seconds.
I just want to acknowledge for a clarification, I appreciate the stipulation, but as the gentleman asked before, like the stipulation still does not allow us to reset the program again as it stands. So even with the stipulation, we would need at least a minimum of $10,000 additional dollars that we would have to fund from our account.
The chair would make a motion to extend time to 7 o'clock. Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? Seeing no dissent. Is that a dissent, JP?
No.
Okay. No dissent. New time is 7 o'clock. Representative Jordan. Please, yeah.
Yeah, so I was, to speak to Wallen's question, I originally voted against because I thought that the 30K that you guys pledged went to CUPB, but you're saying that there's an extra 10K that isn't accounted for even between these two organizations.
Kevin,
30
seconds.
Can I ask you to ask your question one more time? Because I'm not sure I totally understood.
Okay, so saying that CUPB had an increase, and that increase is proportional to, or like some part of that would be proportional to what you would have contributed to this orientation event. Or like there's like numbers things that are like 60 versus 50K, right? So that 10K is what you're asking for, like that difference, or?
Not necessarily, but I appreciate the clarification. So to answer the question, we contributed last year $30,000. We used our 12K budgeted for the event plus rollover. And what I was just using as an example was because it's my understanding CUPB asked for $50,000. If we get nothing, because again, we had 12, we asked for 30, the 30 is being cut. We have nothing to contribute to the event. So that means that with $50,000, we would not be able to do the event. So what we asked for was to continue to collaborate and contribute what we've contributed. And I can't speak to what CUPB intends to do.
Vice President De Lorenzo, 30 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, just to answer that, the program last year was a total amount of money of 60K. Was it 30 and 30 or was it? Oh, we can just go in and find it. So yeah, last year it was, yeah, it was about 50-50, total of 60K. The year before that, it was a split of 12K from orientation, 18K from CUPB. Under the new programming council model, CUPB should experience increased synergies across the organization, limiting the amount of money they have to spend on marketing spend. This amount of 10K of the amount of money can either be made up by CUPB with those synergies or orientation with their lots of amounts of money being spent on food, giveaways, other random stuff that they use and spend during the week.
That's time.
We're also going to get an increase in student enrollment, which will help that amount of money.
Representative Anonye.
My question kind of for Kevin is, let's assume that CUPB gives you all the allocated money that you need. Will orientation run smoothly as you guys are expecting?
I'm not sure I can answer that question. And I do also just want to clarify, CUPB does not give us that money.
Well, CUPB like uses the money in the way that you guys need it.
If CUPB is able to find someone and run the program with $10,000 less, then that may be the case that it wouldn't impact us. If not, then that's our responsibility, not CUPB's responsibility. So ultimately, if they cannot run the program and they need to alter that, then we are left without a program to run.
The other words are 30 seconds.
Just some clarification on that. I expect that they will be able to run the same for all the reasons that I talked about before. CUPB is going to get better synergies, cost savings. Orientation can maybe reevaluate some of the giveaways. We're also going to get an increase in enrollment of the number of students. I would also add, too, that orientation and TACON, it's a Cornell department. There's a completely other separate set of money that's coming from Cornell within the TACON Center. Whether or not it's going to orientation, I think a lot of those staff meals that are being provided could maybe be put in the TACON Center because that's where the students are being paid from.
Representative Akiraju.
Just as a clarifying question, the $12,000 that you were able to budget last year, are you not able to at all budget for that this year?
That was an orientation of summer of 22. Summer 23, that was that 30K, 30K split with CUPB and orientation.
Right. So because they're budget is increased, shouldn't you be able to find that 12,000? Like, it wasn't increased as much as you want, but it was increased, so shouldn't you still be able to find that 12,000?
Right. Well, I mean, that 18K went to, you know, inflatables and giveaways and stuff like that. I mean, that's the incremental difference that we're talking about here. Yeah, we can find it. It was like blankets, 6K, like, the food
that's truck, time 10 30 seconds
inflatable 16 giveaways like nearly 20K.
So to answer your question, the $12,000 is no longer associated with that line request, so we would have to make cuts to other aspects of the program in order to do that. And no, I don't believe that would be something that would be easy to do considering the feedback we've heard from orientation.
Vice President Barry.
Okay, point of information. So it seems like the issue here is that CUPB has the money that is necessary to host this event. So can we like spin back to like the CUPB agreement and motion to like, you know, just have that money transferred over to orientation just so you guys have like autonomy over how that money is spent?
Yes, that is possible. And we can do those adjustments with the final fee, I believe. I think as soon as somebody would have to vote on some resolution to amend it or something. And Nicholas probably knows. But basically, yes, if we want the stake to be 50-50, then we would take 25K from the CUPB allocation and toss it into orientation, right? But I think it's also important with that note to evaluate the organizations and programming they do so that come 2026 or 2025, when the next fee is decided, that justification for another increase from that point isn't contingent on the basis of, well, we got an increase before, right? And so it should really be valuing of their operations.
Kevin, 30 seconds.
I agree with everything Rocco said.
Representative Ram.
I was wondering what the, outside of the CUPB issue, what the feedback you received for orientation this year was and how other funds would help you improve.
Yeah. So we're still combing through the feedback, but a lot of feedback that we received was that one event per night is not enough for students, considering acknowledging that we have a real space issue on campus. We don't have a lot of spaces that fit all of our students, and so that's a big challenge. And then the other piece is that our budget it's actually very limited, and so we were able to, with the help of Student Assembly, move away from the Orientation Steering Committee, which I put a university request for funds to fund our student leaders, and that was approved. But otherwise, that is really the only other account we have for orientation.
30 seconds.
I would also note too with that, some of the feedback, at least that Emily shared in the meeting, was that students were displeased with the amount of lines that they would have to wait in to get the giveaway items that you guys were giving away, which is kind of funny to think about. But I mean, it's maybe like, you know, maybe we can better allocate those giveaways. I would also say too, another aspect that came up was this student meals charge within orientations or staff meals. So staff meals were charged at, I believe, it was like 18, 20K, something like that. Yeah, around there. And basically, like, all of those were to pay the OLs, which are now being paid from the TACON Center budget. And so I think if the agreement that we made before to make Orientation Steering Committee the now TACON Center byline, right, if that said, hey, we're going to keep this money separate, why are they receiving these incremental gifts over time in the form of meals? Yes, it's to incentivize them, but should that money be taken out of the student activity fee?
Representative Resica.
I move to have like $25,000 transferred from CUPB to Orient.
That is not an order. It'll need to be in the form of a formal resolution. Sorry.
Can we
information? Yes.
But then what if we make the resolution and that doesn't pass?
Then it would stand.
But there's no way to like make a vote so that like we have to like give them the money, like it has to be contingent on that.
You could move to table this to the next meeting and then write a resolution before the next meeting.
Can I change my motion?
You can change your motion.
I move to table this to the next meeting.
That motion is in order. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent to that motion? Point of information. No. Okay.
I would say point of information too. It's like Kevin came in. He's a Cornell employee. I don't know if it's fair to make him come in multiple times because I feel like this is probably annoying for you. But regardless, it's like we might want to be respectful of Kevin's time as well. Next week, we're also going to have three organizations come in for their byline reports as well. So,
point of information.
Can we, like, off the record, like, can we as an assembly agree to, like, you know, like, in good faith, like, if we accept this recommendation to then approve the resolution that's made next week?
I mean, as a point of order, we can't do that, but I mean, okay. Point of information.
We should table it and then write the resolution just out of good faith. I don't know who's in charge of that. Rocco will write the resolution in the meantime, hopefully. I also don't think that CPB in the first place should have gotten the money if it wasn't their position to have that party anyway. But yeah.
All right. I'm going to call the question to approve the appropriation committee's decision of their allocation. Whatever comes out of that, or if we vote this down, that's up to you guys. But this discussion has gone on for almost an hour now. So the motion on the floor is to approve.
I made my motion before the table, and we didn't.
You are correct. Point of order.
Order, Patrick.
That's true. All right. The motion on the floor is to table this resolution or table this appropriations decision until next meeting. Is there a second?
Second. Point of information.
Point of information.
Yeah. Does Kevin need to come to the next meeting?
It's up to Kevin. We will be voting on it then if this passes. So you can respond to that if you want.
I was going to say, I'll do my best. I'm at half staff right now, so I will do my best.
Okay, the motion on the floor, there's a second. The motion on the floor is to table this appropriation committee's decision till next meeting. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, this is tabled to the next meeting. I will let the assembly decide on this, but I'm going to make a motion to also table the student assembly report because...
Second. Five in the next meeting.
All right. There's a second on the floor. Is there dissent to tabling that? That'll be five reports next week. So we have the appropriations committee next week.
I know, but we got to get to the resolution.
All right. So that would be five reports next week. Is there dissent? Seeing no dissent, there's five reports next week. We'll move on to resolution. 30.
Yes, let's go.
Removing median grades, which we have been trying to get you for 3-4 weeks now. All right. Representative Wallen taking a photo.
What?
Representative Height.
I motion to suspend the rules and to move resolution 37 to like the top or like the next.
That is in order. There's a motion on the floor to move resolution 37 above resolution 30 by suspending the rules. This takes a 2/3 vote of the student assembly to do this. There is no comment. Actually, this is debatable. This is debatable, so you do have a time to comment. Representative Parikh.
It's me. I understand that people on the meeting grades resolution have been putting a lot of work into this, but I think this will be a very quick resolution. It should be pretty straightforward. And like, I don't think it'll take very long. And I think it's very time sensitive. So it's important we get it passed at this meeting.
Representative Rezica.
We only have like 19 minutes left. Like, if it's a short resolution, why can't we just do it at the next meeting? Like, if it's really short, we could move to suspend the rules at the next meeting and do it then, but like we've been trying to Jamal's been trying to do a resolution for like 3 weeks. That'll be a whole month next week. All
right, there's a lot of opinions on the floor. I'm just gonna sum up everyone's perspectives real quick. Representative Parikh feels that we should do it now because Elections Day is Tuesday.
What's
yeah.
We're not going to vote on Resolution 30 today, even if I do present it, but I do want to present it. But I am willing to have Resolution 37 go first. If it passed, I'll probably have like 5 minutes or 10 minutes to present it after, which I will do, so the new people who aren't here can hear what the resolution is about. But I am in favor of having the resolution put to 37, even though it has been 3 weeks.
Okay. I'm going to call the question on Resolution 37. We're placing it on the agenda as the next item of business. All those in favor, please raise your placards now. All right, that passes unanimously.
Yes.
All right, 37, let's go.
Speed, let's go. Pep in that step.
I'm giving you 1 minute and 30 seconds to present this resolution.
Yes. Okay. Hello, everyone. I'll try to make it shorter than 1 minute and 30 seconds. As you all know, Election Day is Tuesday. Every year here in the city of Ithaca, we have elections for something, whether that's city council, state races, federal races, and Cornell does not give us Election Day off. We are in a swing congressional district. We are a very substantial student population, but it's very difficult for students to vote since there is only one polling place on campus in Alice Cookhouse. So it's difficult for students to get down there during the day. And I think it would be incredibly good for civic participation if we were to get Cornell to make Election Day a holiday, especially given that New York does not have no excuse absentee voting. So voting by mail in the state of New York is also very difficult. So I would appreciate everybody's support to pass this resolution.
Second. The floor is open for debate. Any points? Representative Nonye.
Speed run. Let's go.
Yeah, speed run. I'll vote in favor of this, but seeing as we have school off tomorrow, I think it's highly unlikely that this would get passed.
It's true, but yeah.
Representative Everett.
I don't think we're going to have school off this time next year, and I think this is more, I think having Friday off was a very unprecedented, people did not expect it. I'm sure most of us were very surprised when we got that email. We're very grateful for it, but this is like an important day to have off. It is our constitutional right to vote. So with that being said, unless someone has a amendment, I motion to pass this by unanimous consent.
If you have an amendment, please dissent at this time. Seeing no dissent, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please raise your placards now. All those opposed? That's unanimous. It passes.
That's got to be a record.
A record.
Representative Wallet, please take your place in the front of the room.
Hey.
Representative Wallen, how much time do you want on the clock?
Time is it now?
6:45.
5 minutes.
All right, I'm giving you 4 minutes.
Can you give me like a second to pull it up the resolution?
Yep, absolutely. Everyone, please pull up the resolution. If you haven't read this yet, I'm ashamed because this has been on the agenda for literally 4 weeks. So
wait, we're doing 30 right now? The median grades? Yeah.
This one isn't that hard either. Like,
yeah, I'm voting yes. Yeah. Who's saying no? Can we just unanimously vote with this? So what? Like,
Nadine.
Oh,
yeah. You're on the clock.
Okay, so median grades were not on our transcripts until 2008. It was put on our transcripts, voted on in 1997, and multiple resolutions were passed in order to have it be official practice. Cornell is the only school within the 71 AAU, which is the American University, Association of American Universities. Well, out of the 71, only four do it. Cornell is the only one. Cornell is one of those four. Sorry. No other Ivy League does it. The American Association of Collegiate Registrars and Admissions Officers, which is like the college registrars, does not list calculating and posting median grades as a recommended component. Median grades, disadvantages, demoralize, devalues academic accomplishments in the classroom, detracts from learning, and fosters unhealthy competition. Overall, what that first part is saying is that this is not something that is common among peer institutions. the university registrar, the person who creates our transcripts, also is opposed to this practice. There's also a resolution on the floor in part of the Faculty Senate, which has over 27 sponsors. This resolution has 43 students signing it as well. Overall, having meeting grades on your transcripts provides a comparison of a person's individual performance relative to their peers. We risk overshadowing a person's individual efforts and achievements. And especially in that case, is like if you have a semester where getting an A- meant that you put in blood, sweat, and tears, the meeting being an A is going to devalue that. And now everything that's happening in your personal life, so you have a job, family issues, mental health issues, that's all going to be upon the backdrop of other students besides yourself. Overall, this is not a best practice. So I am recommending that the Cornell University shall immediately discontinue this practice of including meeting grades. And also, I'm requesting additional resources to OUR, the Office of the University Registrar, in case there's other things that students are going to have put onto their transcripts or have other things done. But as of right now, they are understaffed. So other than that, I'm just going to reiterate and restate that Cornell University has an intense culture of competition. We all feel it. We all see it. We all are stressed. Whatever week it is now, we're all burnt out. And in the back of everyone's mind is, how am I going to perform against my peers? How is my personal achievements going to look among the backdrops of other students? I feel like maybe if you're a freshman in the room, you may not understand, but in 2 years, probably like, get this shit off my grades too. But yeah, you had my time.
Representative Barry.
Thank you for your presentation, Representative Wallen. I do agree with you that, like, you know, removing median grades would be like kind of like a great equalizer of Cornell, like kind of removing that comparison, just because we all know that students from various socioeconomic backgrounds come in with, at different levels, and that greatly impacts their ability to, like, you know, measure up to the crazy standards that Cornell sets. But that being said, I motion to vote on this resolution.
Second.
I would caution against that. I know that we do have a lot of dissent in the room on this subject. Representative Wang?
What's their dissent?
Do you want to withdraw your motion?
Draw.
Okay, Representative Wang?
Well, I do see where you're coming from with this resolution. I think it's good to keep in mind that every single major and college within Cornell has very different averages, as, like, you know, engineering has like much lower averages than other schools overall. So that is important to keep in mind while removing medians for one college may be beneficial, it may inadvertently harm other students.
Could I respond to that?
Yep, 30 seconds.
I have also taken engineering classes. I am a STEM student. So I do understand your comment. But overall, just having a hard college, then there being even more emphasis on your grades is detrimental.
Representative Herrera.
I'd also like to double down on the engineering aspect, but also furthermore, I've talked to a lot of fellow like pre-med students in different pre-professional tracks. And for those programs specifically, it is important to, like, as bad as it might be, seem, like, for most medical schools, they do want to be able to see, like, some kind of comparison. And it's not even the real comparison idea. It's more being able to see for those tracks how you're doing in those classes, especially in classes that have, like, way lower medians as well.
I would like to respond to that by saying that most medical schools, almost all medical schools, do not expect you to have median grades on your transcripts. Cornell is one of 4 out of 71 AAU institutions that reports it. So there is no historical basis for that claim.
Representative Rezka.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that, like, I'm pre-med myself, and I speak to a lot of pre-med students, and I would argue that, like, a lot of pre-med students would be for this resolution. When you take big intro classes like Gen Chem and stuff, there's a really big culture of competition, and it's very cutthroat. You have students who will lie to you and tell you the wrong answer just so, like, they can do better than you, because the expectation is, as long as I do better than the person next to me, I'm going to be okay. And like, that shouldn't be the culture. It should be a culture of like being welcoming and kind to each other. And furthermore, since like so many like colleges, undergrad colleges do not have the median transcripts, like on the median grades on people's transcripts, there is no way for them to be able to like expect that as the norm for like pre-med students. That's just like factually incorrect.
Thank you. Can I respond to that as well?
Yep, 30 seconds.
Placing emphasis on relative performance inadvertently shifts intrinsic learning to grade positioning. As Representative Ruzeka has said, the goal is to learn at your school. And when we have people being uncollaborative, goes exactly against Cornell's mission and goals. So I think we want to foster not just self-improvement, but a place where we're not competing with each other, trying to tear each other down to lift ourselves up.
Lovely. Representative Akman, did you have your placard up? Would you like to speak?
Can you hear me? I just wanted to go back to what Jamal said about, comparing grades with students outside of Cornell. And he used the example of a student had an A- and they worked hard, but the average was an A. If you're comparing your grades to someone outside, maybe for a job, something like that, or grad school, if the other person in other school also had an A-, I don't think they're going to consider your median. Or if they even had an A, you are already out of interest. So I don't think it's the average really has much impact outside of Cornell.
Yeah, can I respond to that as well?
Yep, 30 seconds.
I'd like to echo really quickly. I do not think that any of you guys are going to struggle to find jobs after Cornell. I don't think removing median grades, you guys are now going to be jobless because of that. I don't think anybody at Cornell is getting a job because median grades is on the transcript. I don't think anyone is losing a job because median grades is on the transcript.
Representative Jordan.
Yeah, I just wanted to start off saying, like, I think this is a great resolution for, like, mental health, especially the mental health students. However, I would also like to say, like, for a lot of engineering classes, maybe if the median's a B, right, like, and you get a B, having that comparison really helps when people look at your transcripts, because, like, people assume maybe they curve to an A or an A-, but in reality, a lot of engineering classes curve to a B, B+. You probably know since you're a STEM student. So I was wondering if it's possible to do, like, a referendum. I don't know if the Student Assembly has done that before, but because this impacts a lot of students, maybe that would be something to consider.
Can I get you to respond? Regardless of the referendum, the facts of the matter are that this Cornell is very in its practice of this, and the University of Registrar does caution against this. But I don't know how you guys feel about it, but either way, referendum, no referendum, it's not a best practice. We do have this culture. And also, I do not think it's possible to have median grades be for just one college.
Representative Everett.
I want to speak in full support of this resolution. For one, there is just like no, if there was like a standardized level of grading throughout professors, I think this would be a little more valid. But personally, when I took logic, my professor graded on a European scale, which meant up to a 56% was a C-, which meant that like I was able to just kind of bootcamp my way through that class. Whereas people in the next semester, a 56 is F. So I think that unless there's a standardized level of grading for a professor, that would be necessary. Also, the median grades are just like really harmful in general. I like in my elementary school years for 2 years wasn't taught standardized math or English or anything. And I had to like catch up. So like getting here and being compared to other students was like a shock to me. And I think in general,
that's time.
Jobs understand.
Can I respond to that?
Yep, 30 seconds.
I also took Chem 2070, Chem 2080, Calc 1, 2, Bio as like a freshman in physics. My junior year, and I came in as a low income student, went to a terrible high school, middle school didn't even teach me timetables. So like, there's a different positioning for each student. And then we just come into Cornell, we're being homogenized and flattened to one letter that other people are achieving, but that has nothing to do with my personal achievements and who I am as a person. And we want to have less of an emphasis on just grades in general.
With that, I'm going to say that we have 4 minutes left on the clock. If there's no motion to extend time presented, then this meeting will end at 7 o'clock. Just to give everyone
point of information.
Are you okay with not, like, do you still want to vote on the resolution at this meeting, or do you want to let people sit on it?
Well, we have 5 presentations next time. I don't think otherwise open. So, well, I don't know if I can ask. I'm okay. I'll be voting now. That'll be fine by me. But we also could just table it for next time. But we also do have a lot of resolutions and a lot of things that happen on campus. So I don't know if we'll have time to vote next time either, if we're ever going to have time.
Representative Everett?
Could we possibly do a straw poll?
Yes, we can.
For people that don't know what that is, it's basically, it's not an official vote, but people would raise your placards to show like which way they would vote, and then we could get a general consensus of the room. So it's up to you if you...
Yeah, I would be in favor of a straw poll.
Motion for a straw poll.
Okay, that motion is in order, second. But before that motion is in order, I'm going to make a motion to extend this meeting by 5 minutes. Is there any dissent? Okay. 7:05. Okay, so the way a straw poll works, in the way that I'm going to run it, if you know that you're for, raise your placards as for. If you know that you're against, raise your placards for against. And if you are not sure or you're leaning one way or another, raise your placards for abstain, so we know how much there is, people's minds are not made up. Okay? So this is not a formal vote. It's just a test on the ideas. Okay? All those for, please raise your placards now. All those against. All those abstaining. Okay. So that's for the body to decide what they want to do with.
What?
All those for. All those against.
I'm also raising my hand.
Against? Are you for or against on the Zoom?
Against.
All those abstaining. All right, the count is 11 for, 6 against, and 5 abstaining.
Point of information.
Point of information.
Do we need a majority? Or
if it's a simple majority, yep.
Oh, so motions. Wait, would that be majority?
11 for, 6 against, 5 abstaining, which if all the abstaining, it's 11-11. Yes.
I move to vote on this resolution.
Okay. Hold on, everybody. Representative DeLorenzo.
I will say, I think the idea of limiting competition is a good thing here at Cornell. Whether or not that aligns with like the real world after the fact, it's like you shouldn't be stressing your college years. I will say that if objectively evaluating this, when this decision was made to add median grades, it was unilateral. It was passed by somebody. They just decided to do it, right? I would feel wrong for the student assembly to decide the same thing, because the idea of a median grade is that 50% is lower, 50% is higher, and over the aggregate of your Cornell career, you're going to vary in between these distribution curves. I really like the idea of a referendum and getting the opinion of the student body, because this is going to drastically affect a variety of different facets on both sides.
Can I respond to that?
You can respond to that. 30.
The reason why median grades were put on the transcript in the first place was because faculty wanted students to take harder classes. They found that that's not what median grades did. So it wasn't like, I don't know if there was sweeping. No, I don't think there was sweeping support for this at all either, though. It was a very tumultuous thing. That's why it took like, what is that, 20 years for it to pass.
Representative Height. Oh, my bad. Vincent. Representative Vincent.
Point of inquiry. This, you know, idea of sort of having a referendum keeps coming up. What's sort of the precedent for that? I've never sort of seen one happen. Yeah, having a student referendum.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't done one this year. Basically, what it would look like is a ballot would go out to the student body, just like if they're voting for a representative, it'd be look exactly the same. And then it would be either for or against median grades, basically. It's like you're voting for median grades. Okay. Representative Durham.
Oh,
given voter turnout issues on this campus, I wouldn't really trust a referendum as much as it sounds great. I'm in favor of this in general, mostly because of our peer schools, primarily the fact that the other Ivies don't have it. The other Ivies do have engineering schools, don't have median grades. Other Ivies have applicants to grad schools, don't have median grades. I think it's important to get rid of it so that we're on the same playing field.
Can I respond to that?
You can, 30 seconds.
I would agree with everything the representative just said. And also, I think another representative just joined, and I believe they're in favor. So I think I would motion to end debate.
Okay, that is in order. Is there a second?
Second.
Dissent. Okay, we'll move into voting since that motion is a second.
Do you need point of information? Do you need 2/3?
What did you say?
Point of information. Do we need 2/3 to vote on this?
No, we just need a simple majority of the.
No, for the.
Oh, to end debate? Yeah, 2/3 to end debate. Simple majority passed, 2/3 to end debate. So the motion on the floor is to end debate. All those in favor of ending debate, please raise your placards now.
Sorry,
motion to extend time until 7:15.
Yes, sir.
Motion to end.
Everybody. We are voting on whether to end debate right now. If you're in favor of ending debate, please raise your placards now. Okay. If you're in favor of ending debate, please raise your placards once and don't keep raising them over the course of the time I'm counting. 1, 2. Okay, all those against. All those holding proxies. 4.
No, I've raised 1 and then I'm raising the second.
So all right, that does not pass. That counts as 13-7. All right, we're still in debate.
Motion.
Yeah. All right, is there a motion to extend time on the floor?
Motion.
Motion to extend time?
Motion to extend time until
7:15. There is dissent. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we'll vote on to extend time to 7:15. All those in favor of extending time, please raise your placards. All those opposed? That clearly passes. Vice President Freak.
Okay. Again, I think the main theme we've seen across like all the dissents is not even that like this is an inherently bad idea. It's just that like we as a student assembly should not be making a decision in something that is this personal to every single student on this campus and so core to the academic mission. I think if you came back next week with a like modifying this into a referendum instead of a recommendation, you would probably get unanimous support on this. And I think for an issue as critical and as core to like again what we're doing here at Cornell, this should be something that students get to decide themselves. Otherwise, like also from the perspective of getting this actually implemented, if the administration senses that this is just a bunch of people sitting in a room and deciding this, they're not going to really care. But if actually the students of Cornell vote by a majority to get rid of median grades, then you might actually see action on this from the administration level. So that's why I would urge you to come back next week, modify this into a referendum, and I think it would pass very easily.
Can I respond to that?
Trustee Sun, 30 seconds to respond.
The goal of the student assembly is to represent the students. So I do reject the premise that we cannot make, have resolutions that affect all the student body. This is resolution 30, and I feel like most resolutions have affected everybody. But then again, I'm not opposed to referendum. I just think it's pointless being that the facts of the matter do not change. But yeah.
Trustee Swenson.
Okay. From the perspective of a student assembly, like from the student assembly governance perspective, right? We've had this resolution for like 3 or 4 weeks. It's done tons of revisions. It's only fair to vote on it and end debate. If it passes, it passes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You bring up a good point. This resolution, if it passes, doesn't immediately remove median grades. It goes to Martha's desk and then she can talk to her administration what's going to happen. But it's only fair to end debate and vote.
Can I respond to that?
You can, 30 seconds.
Also, I don't know what the basis for voting is, but I think that we should be voting in the best interest of the students and who we represent. Think about what the people who you represent would want. I think we all understand that most students would not want median grades on this transcript. I think we all understand that. Maybe you not want to want it personally, but if you've done any research within the past 3 weeks, you should have been able to get a sense of what students want. And I understand that as undergraduate representative to the University Assembly, that most students do not want this.
Point of inquiry, Vice President Parikh.
I think it'll have to be difficult.
So you can refer it as a referendum to the student body. However, if we were to do that, it would be sending the entire resolution as it's worded right now, with the only options being yay or nay. I know when this came up before, there were discussion of other options that could go in the referendum, and this would not allow that.
Can I respond real quick?
30 seconds.
If we had a referendum, it would be yes or no. I spoke to Rhonda Kitch, the university registrar, and it would be yes or no, because she's the one who calculates it. So there wasn't be like, oh, college this, college that. They don't have the resources to do that.
All right. With that, with the recognition that we have 8 minutes left, I'm going to call the question on this and close debate. Do you have a motion tonight?
Can I make one more point?
All right. I'll withdraw. Point of information.
I just wanted to say that, oh, it's just like student assembly voting, but I believe that the faculty senate is voting in favor of this resolution on like their own version of it. And like, I believe the university assembly is also voting yes to the same kind of resolution. So if like all the assemblies are voting yes to the resolution, I think we're
going to respond to that.
Okay. Yes, that is a point of information. Vice President Parikh, do you have a motion to amend?
Yeah, I think given that we should be, you know, supportive of student democracy and student engagement, I move to amend this resolution to make it a referendum by, line 15. Well, no, the type of action, line 15, amend that to say referendum.
That is an order. Is there a second? Okay.
Dissent.
All right. We're not voting on it right now. We're in discussion on the idea of a referendum. Are there other points and motions on the floor on a referendum? Representative Wang.
In the past, when we've done referendums, like how much engagement have we actually received from the referendum? And also, have you ever been able to like do it, like split it amongst college? Like how detailed can we get with the referendum?
Yeah, you know, every student's college, you have data on all of that. And I think the engagement really depends on the issue at hand.
Point of information. The college thing, I know we keep talking about it, but it will be yes or no sweeping. There is no college owners and won't keep it, and all the college is gonna throw it away. So just want to add that.
Okay. Vice President Ting.
I think one thing that is crucial to this like joint movement between right student assembly, faculty senate, university assembly is showing strength in numbers. Right now, like we are representatives, but I think like VP Parikh said, this is a very like double-edged sword for a lot of students, right? This could either massively benefit them for like an extremely difficult class or massively screw them over when it comes to grad school applications. That being said, if there is such a widespread sentiment that it would be massively beneficial to students, and we do our jobs in engaging our respective colleges and communities to get like a show of support, it would benefit us in the long run. Right. And not only the joint like numbers beyond just the assembly, but in the community, but also with the faculty senate and the university assembly, which is why I'm going to push for support to turning this into a referendum.
Vice Representative Height.
Sorry to like repeat like Amy's question, but like do you have like a number of like, I know you said like it varies depending on like issue, but like do you have like
I don't have a number for you.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Sorry. Representative Barry with an E.
Just to be real quick, for a referendum, I mean, I don't think we get that large of a percent of the student body to even vote for regular assembly, but regardless, voting for a specific thing, obviously the students who are most likely wanting this, which does, you know, add to the level of competition, are more inclined to vote for this kind of thing. Also, we represent the student body and the best interests. And I don't like the grad school argument or all these other arguments because the other schools don't do it. So at worst, we're putting it at a level playing field. And if for some reason we feel and we can look at the stats of people not getting into grad school or something, that can be cut later. Referendum is just not a good idea.
Exactly.
Point of information. All right, you got as soon as the Office of Assemblies is ready, probably within a week. Within a week. Yeah. Vice President DeLorenzo.
Don't I get second speaking time? Like if I've only been called upon
once. I don't think Vice President DeLorenzo has spoken yet.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I would say, you know, depending or not, we're all self-elected. We represent the students. We were definitely self-selected, like, as a student assembly. It takes guts to come in here every single week and, like, listen to people talk. Like, it's not representative of the student body, in my opinion, of, like, their personal ideals and beliefs. I would say that in terms of a referendum, I'm very in favor of putting a referendum out there just to see what students feel. And I feel like this will also help the student assembly mission of getting more engagement with the student body and making them know who we are, which I know is one of the key goals of the student assembly this year. And so I feel like, you know, if it's up to us to go get a lot of people engaged in this type of stuff. And we already saw increased engagement this past election cycle.
Can I respond to that?
Representative, no, you can't because the question is on the referendum. Representative Everett.
Yeah, I would say I would honestly smile favorably upon a referendum. But I would say in general to the representatives that are against the median grades because, you know, it can look poorly for grad students. That's a little selfish. We are here because we want to represent the student body. You are thinking about yourself as the 50% that is above the median. And there are 50% of students that you claim to represent that are below that median grade that are being screwed over by those grades being on the transcript. So it is very important that if you want to represent the student body as a whole, don't represent 50%, represent 100 and look out for the best interests of those who are losing from having median grades on the transcript.
Representative Ballastre.
Yep, I'm running back. All right, I got minutes.
I'm making a motion to extend the time by 5 minutes. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we're ending at 7:20. I'm going to call the question on the referendum. So all those in favor of the amendment to change this resolution to a referendum, please raise your placards now.
Yes.
All those opposed? All those four holding proxies? Sounds good. Okay, the count is 14-2. This is 14-3. The amendment has been made. This is now a referendum. We are in debate on the resolution with the amendments.
Point of information.
Point of information.
How does that work now? So we're going to vote to have this be a referendum?
Yes.
Motion to end debate and have this be a referendum?
Motion to end debate. Is there a second? Okay. We've ended debate. Well, is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we'll move into voting. All those in favor of passing this resolution, please raise your placards now as a referendum. All those opposed. Okay, count is 19-0 to the rest. And I counted the crying baby as an extra vote. Just kidding. All right. Is there a motion on the floor for any such business as amending?
So meeting now.
All right. That motion is a second. Seeing none, this meeting is concluded. At 7:16 on Thursday, November 2nd.
The person you want to ask about that is probably Nicholas. Whatever he says, let me know. I have probably been doing some campaigning for this as well. I'm pretty sure you do. Yeah.
but I don't have it in a contract or just it has a number.
It's 917689.